Hello and welcome back to Amplify with Purpose. I'm your host, Odette DeBeer, and today I've got something special for you. I recently joined Chanel LaRue, marketing coach, agency owner, and host of the Sunshine podcast for a powerful conversation all about creating unforgettable client experiences. In this episode, you'll hear us unpack exactly what client experience really means, why businesses often miss the mark, and how you can use simple, practical methods to keep your clients coming back for more. From getting clear about how your clients feel to creating consistency and accountability, we dive deep into strategies you can start applying right now. This conversation was so rich and valuable that I couldn't resist sharing it right here on Amplify with Purpose. So grab your notebook, tune in, and let's amplify your business by putting your clients at the heart of everything you do. Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to another episode. Today I am talking to Odette DeBeer. Odette from Amplify Business Coaching and Consulting. Odette is a conscious coach who believes in the power of Ubuntu philosophy. Now, Ubuntu philosophy is something that I'm familiar with being South African, but it's something that I'll get Odette to explain in just a moment. With over two decades of experience in business and process optimization, she helps amplify your purpose-driven transformation and enrich your life. Welcome. Is that a pre-con for welcome?
I'm so impressed because the other day you were like, I don't speak. It is welcome.
Oh, welcome. Welcome. That's about as far as my Afrikaans goes. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's really cool. I'm really excited to have this chat.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. And for those of you who haven't met Odette, and I'm going to get her to introduce herself and talk her through what she does and why she does it and who she does it for. But I met Odette at the SA Women Summit, which was absolutely fabulous. And she got up to talk, and not for long enough because it was so good. I could have listened to you talk all day. And she spoke specifically about the whole symphony building thing, which we're going to get to, and you're going to be able to explain it a lot better than I can. And I'm very excited about it because I thought that it was really clever and really awesome. But before we get into all of that, please introduce yourself and tell our listeners about who you are and what you do and what you help business owners achieve.
Well, obviously, and well done for saying DeBeer correctly, because it's something that I find people struggle with. I've had DeVere, I've had DeBeer, I've pretty much had everything, and I try and explain it as beer. You do the whole, you're chugging down a beer. I'm Odette DeBeer.
And that's how it's spelled. It's B-E-R. So there's really no excuse for the Aussies to get it wrong. I feel like Aussies, they call Shane Labushkakni Labushane. Is that right? What's his business? Yeah. I just think it's just they're unable to pronounce the wonderful exotic names that Afrikaners have. So we'll have to work on that. But yeah, DeBeer, everybody.
DeBeer. And I help businesses, churches, individuals amplify their heart, mind, and the hands of their organizations, teams, families, so that they can create unforgettable experiences. It really is, if ever you speak to me, three things you always hear me say, it's about touching the heart before you influence the mind, and then you can empower the hands, because everything starts from the heart. That's what I do. I've been in Australia for 3 years officially, so next year I get to apply for my blue passport, which I'm super excited about. But for now, I'm just a resident here between the Australians.
We're very lucky to have you. And I always get so excited when I meet another South African, which is not often. Everybody else seems to meet them, but I never seem to. So Odette, a big focus for your business, or a big focus of what you do, or at least what you were talking about at the SA Women Summit, is customer experience. So I feel like let's talk about that and unpack it. And even just starting off with defining what a customer experience actually is, because I feel like it's one of those sort of fugazi things that people really struggle to articulate. So what is a customer experience, and why is it important for a business to design one?
I'm going to share with you the technical term, and then I'm going to dumb it down, not because you're dumb, but just because that's what connects with people. So technically, it's the sum total of your customers' interactions with your business, which shapes their emotions, satisfaction, and ultimately their loyalty. It's the blend of your emotional, rational, and functional touch points
that dictate your customer's behavior. In English, the way your customer feels after doing anything on your website, with your company, with your people, influences their perception of you as an organization, not you as a person, and their perception determines whether or not they will buy from you in future or even tell their friends about you.
I love that description. And it's quite scary because I think a lot of business owners, they get on this like runaway train towards profit, or they're so focused on their growth that they forget that it's actual humans that are buying from them. And I think as a business, if you're listening to this, take a moment and stop and think about the last time you actually mapped out your customer journey and looked at the ways that you are igniting and delighting the people that you work with, or what you're doing to keep them loyal to your business and to your brand. I know I'm in marketing, and very often everyone is so focused on getting the customer and making the sale, but then they're missing that loyalty piece. What are you doing, you know, to firstly make the experience of buying from you friggin' awesome, but then what are you doing to make sure that they come back for more? And I think that the most important thing that you just said was, how do you make them feel when they actually come to do business with you? There's something called think, feel, do, which I do with my clients, which is like, how do you want your customers to think? How do you want them to feel in order for them to do what you want them to do? So talk me through your process. How do you work with businesses to help them improve that customer experience, or identify how they can basically just be better for their clients and customers?
So again, three things that I always focus on: clarity, accountability, consistency. Clarity: where are we going? Who are we doing this for? Where does the business want to go? Where do you see this thing going? And exactly what you just said, how do you want your customers to feel? We have to first create clarity. For us to create clarity, we need to understand where we are. So there is a bit of a gap assessment that needs to take place, and it depends on how big the business is. If it's a small business, it's really easy to start and go, okay, I want my customers to feel like this. They're going to walk here, they're going to do this, and off we go. Very easy. When it's a bigger business, then there's already stuff in place that's come over time. Someone thought it was a good idea to implement this process and then add this thing because they saw this new tech thing. And all these things just start adding up and piling up. So you have to first take a step back and assess where you are as an organization. So what does your current experience look like? Do you have one? Quite often, it's an accidental experience. Accidentally, someone's delighted. Accidentally, someone's peeved off. And it's not because your team is bad or your product is bad. It's just because you haven't actually thought about it. And just by creating clarity around where we are and where we want to go, suddenly it becomes so much easier. And you've just said it. Often, customer experience feels like this insurmountable task for people, for organizations. Because we think, if we look at the Ritz-Carlton and we look at Disney, who, like, both those organizations are the epitome of customer experience, right? So we look at them and we go, oh, but it costs them billions. And they've got like this whole army of people. And yes, that's true. But the smaller the organization gets, the easier it is to delight customers because you control everything. And you can take a step back and go, this didn't work. Let's fix it. So first we create clarity. Where do we want to go? Where are we? Then we need to create accountability. And quite often in smaller businesses, this is what's lacking, even in medium-sized businesses, because we go, we need to do these things. This needs to get done. But we don't say, Odette, specifically, Brené Brown says it so well. She says, to be curious, to be kind. Odette, I need you to pick up this pink cup and put it on the right-hand side of the table, 5 centimeters from the left, so that it can be picked up when someone comes to clean the cups, or that you don't push it off the table or whatever. The what and the why are both important. And like, we forget that. We just give people instructions quite vaguely most often. And then we don't go back and say, but Odette, you didn't put the cup where I asked you to put it. Can you tell me why didn't you do that? What was your motivation behind it? Because perhaps Odette knows something I didn't know, because she deals with the customers. We just go and we tell her she didn't do her job and you suck and off you go. Also, not really a good way of doing it. In terms of accountability, also, we need to measure where we are. Getting feedback from our customers, finding out what works, finding out what doesn't work. And then consistency, whatever it is. I find in Australia specifically, with smaller businesses, restaurants, cafes, consistency is lacking. You don't have to go and create a Disney experience, but you do have to be reliable. Any business buys anything from another business, and any customer buys anything from a business because there's a replicated result. I would come to you for marketing services because you replicate a specific result. You grow my following, you sell my product, you help me create awareness, whatever that is, you do it and you do it consistently. So therefore I can trust you. But what we do is we go, we want to delight our customers. Then this one time we delight our customers and we forget about every other time. And it feels like it's just so hard to do. So rather than going, I have to be a delight every single time, let's get consistent first. Let's figure out what we want to do and how we want them to feel, just at a baseline. And I guarantee you, your customers will keep coming back because they know at the very least what they'll get from you. Whereas with your competitors, it's the up down. It's the today I've got the lucky packet and I won, and tomorrow I didn't. So it's not so great. And that feeling of dissatisfaction, that feeling of frustration, that feeling of discontent, if you're South African, you vote with your feet. If you're Australian, you make a big noise, you tell everybody, and you vote with your feet. So just be consistent, right? So we create an awareness of where they are. We help them identify where they want to go. And then we start with the small building blocks. It's not about solving world peace. It's the small, quick wins we can implement now that over time, consistently applied, creates the competitive advantage. Quite often, businesses will want to change everything all at once. Big bang, let's go. Like, Rome wasn't built in a day, and your customer experience is not going to be awesome in one day. It's not. I recently spoke to an organization that wants to work on their customer experience, and they were like, okay, we have to get it in now. And I said, guys, unfortunately, this is like an 8-week program at least. And we can't do it in a week. No, but we were supposed to have it in already. Your poor planning, not my problem.
And it sounds like they're just checking a box if they're not willing to commit to the process.
Exactly.
I feel like we're only at the tip of the iceberg of this conversation, and you've already given us so much value. And I feel like for me, the key takeaway is going to be that consistency piece. I know that in my industry for marketing, consistency is so important. You can't just turn your marketing on and expect it to work. You have to show up every day and do all of those things. And then that all accumulates in time and gives you the result that you want. And I feel like I've got a perfect example of how the lack of consistency can really affect customer experience. As you were talking, I was like, I've got the perfect example. Silk Laser Clinic, perfect example. Super happy with the outcome of the result because I'm now a hairless beauty. But every time you go in there, there is a different person giving the treatment, which is fine. That's not unusual for a treatment salon, but they all do it differently. Some of them really get in there and really buzz you and really turn it up. And then some of them are doing it at a different angle. And then some of them use the cream afterwards and some of them don't. And then, so that's the first thing, is that even though different people, the way that they're doing things is different. And I feel like that's a training gap that should have been explained so that it doesn't matter who's doing it. It's always the same experience. And I know what to expect. And I'm not getting buzzed one day and then not getting what I need the next day. And another bad thing that they did was every time I go in there, they ask me the same questions over and over again. I'm like, you've got my file. I've been coming here for 10 years. You shouldn't be asking me these questions. It's all in my file. And that's just like really bad customer experience. Yeah. So I feel like that's a good example of that, how, why it's really important to be consistent so that you're not rocking up and then getting something different every single time. And I also love that you mentioned that it sounds like it's a really big thing, but you can start small and just do it bit by bit, especially for small businesses. One thing I do is I give a bottle of wine to any new clients that come on board, which is just a nice little thing to say thanks for doing business with us. And I really try and make the process of working with us really smooth, but also really fun and enjoyable. And that's just through the processes that we have and the way in which we communicate with our clients. Can you give me some sort of simple way that a small business can start to delight their customers? Do you have any sort of like quick wins or quick tips or maybe tools that they can start using to increase the satisfaction of that interaction?
Okay. So you actually just said it. And any business that's listening now is probably going to cringe. However, you have to standardize. Now, when I say standardize, people go, ah, don't do cookie cutter. We're not like that. We're not vanilla. No, you don't have to be vanilla. But exactly what you said about laser, the sort of laser clinic. Every time you come in, they speak to you differently. They do the treatment differently. Some do things, some don't do things. You never know what to expect. And your customers are like, I don't want to be offensive, so please don't be offended by this. But your customers are like kids who want to know what to expect. If I came home every day to my children and I was happy the one day and furious the next and no explanation in between, they would be bewildered and rattled. But that's what we do to our customers. We show up the one day loving them. It's fantastic. The next day, we're really digging in to get the hair out. The next day, we're like, oh, shit, we feel sorry for you, so we'll put some cream on. And the following day, we're back to square one. We're like, oh, I'm just not a happy camper today. I'm hating my job. And those things create friction for our customers. So don't even worry about tools. Don't even worry about getting a customer experience expert in. Just standardize what you do. Get everyone to use the same words, to use the same language. Anyone who's worked with me knows that words matter. So choose a couple of key phrases that you use in your business. And when you're dealing with your customer, make sure that everyone uses it the same way. Train your staff.
Yeah.
Take some time, but the results that you get from that will outweigh the little bit of time that you've invested in the long run. So train them in the words to use, the tone of voice to use. Like, how do you feel when someone walks in into the treatment room and they're like all icky and you can feel there's a tension? There's a thing in neuroscience where when you're 30 feet away from somebody, your body reacts chemically to their body and you pick up on the throat. So you don't even have to alter in a bad mood. I know immediately, and I feel that. So if you're in a treatment room and someone's just had a fight with their boss and they're coming in to do your treatment and they're like really digging in, it's not just the digging in, it's that atmosphere that you create in your body, in their body, in the room around you. Now, that's for physical experiences, but what about other customers? What about services? What about product businesses? Standardize. Everything you do, standardize. Yes, there will be a point in time in future, once you've got consistent delivery, where you should be thinking about how to delight your customer. But if you don't have a defined customer experience, delight is not your goal. Consistency is your goal. And you can only create consistency if you standardize your process and if you train your team to do things the same way so that your customer knows what to expect every single time. I'm a process optimization specialist. I did that for most of my life. So creating structures to help your people not have decision fatigue is the biggest win in your business. So instead of someone having to think about the questions they've got to ask, create a checklist.
Mm-hmm.
Have a little thing on the wall that says, remember to smile. I read something this morning. Dr. Caroline Leaf, who's a prominent neuroscience scientist, was saying that when we really smile, the mirror neurons in our brain causes other people to smile as well. And suddenly they feel better because when you smile, your brain emits dopamine. So get your team to smile and suddenly your customer's happy and they're like, oh, I feel good about this. Why? The people that I'm dealing with are making me smile. They really genuinely smile and therefore I feel good about this experience. And then think about the customer effort. Like what you just said, every time you go there, you've got to give information. I'm surprised you still go there. The second time you ask me for the same information, I cancel the service. I'm gone. I'm sorry. You have it. Why would you ask me for that again? And most businesses miss this. It doesn't cost you anything. It just means that you've got to put a structure in place. So get the file, get the information. It's okay to ask, Chanel, did your information change? No. Has it? Fantastic. But don't ask for the same information every single time. Don't be lazy. That's lazy. Don't make your customers jump through hoops. Honestly, if you do those three things, you create standardization, you put structures in place that prevents things from going wrong and making sure that everyone does what they're supposed to in the way that they're supposed to, and you just make sure that you've reduced the effort on your customer side, already you've got a world-class experience. If you can do that consistently, then you can go, okay, let's go and wow customers. Let's look for ways to delight them. But until you've got that, your one moment of delight in the sea of inconsistency is not going to keep the customer. They will go somewhere where the service and the experience might be mediocre, but at least it's consistent.
It blows my mind because we work with some small businesses and we also work with some really big businesses. And it always blows my mind because when I go to have meetings with these big organizations and I get them to talk me through how they're doing things, they don't have process. And I'm like a process freak. I don't know. I'm a creative person and I think creative people aren't necessarily process driven. So I don't know where it's come from. It might be when I worked in Cape Town at Acceleration, a tech company, they were super process driven. And I saw the value in implementing processes and structure from the very start of my career. And we're a small business, but we've got a thorough onboarding process for all of our new team members. And we've got very stringent structures and processes that reduce stress, increase our efficiency, and also reduce error. And it's not rocket science. It's just a bit of time to sit and plot out that process and how it looks and what tools you use to support you in that process. And if it's one piece of advice that I can give to a business owner, onboarding is like such a simple but effective thing that you can do. So when we've got a new team member on board, we take them through a proper induction where we explain what we don't do, how we behave, how we don't behave, what our values are, who our customers are. They have a proper training plan where their day is structured to achieve certain things throughout the day, which helps me know that they've done everything that they need to do. And it helps them feel like they've got a bit of control over their day. The worst thing is when you start a new job and you sit there and you go, what the fuck am I doing? So it's just those simple things that you can do. And look, it doesn't, my onboarding deck doesn't look fancy. It's super basic, but it just sets the tone and it makes sure that there's a structure in place to train that person to get them where they need to be to start actually working on clients. I love that you've simplified everything by just saying it's just structure and process. Just start with that. But it's funny because I think we are maybe natural born process thinkers, but some people are like, oh, we don't even know where to start. That's where you bring in Odette, everybody. So music to my ears on the process related stuff. Now, speaking of music, Odette has a book, which I'd love for you to share a little bit about what is in the book. Oh, she's reaching for it. There it is. Because you used this beautiful analogy when you were speaking at the SA Women's Summit, and I'd love for you to just take us through that analogy.
So the analogy I used was creating a symphony in your business. And the reason it's a symphony is because if you think about, and I'm not a classical music person, but if you think about Beethoven's symphonies that he's created, it's this beautiful masterpiece where everything just works together. It flows, it fits. It creates, like talking about it gives me goosebumps because it creates this feeling and this atmosphere where anything is possible and it all just works and you're like, oh, this is just so beautiful. Now imagine if your business was like that. Imagine you could walk in and you've got goosebumps and everything just fits and flows perfectly. It's not the stop, get stuck, go, no, wait, stop. Like even just doing that creates tension in your body. So if you were to stand there and you were like jerking around, your muscles in your stomach has to work. Your legs have to suddenly wake up and do stuff. Whereas if you're in flow, it flows easily. And that's what we want in our business. We want to create a symphony where everything flows easily. Now, the question is, how do you create the symphony? And I absolutely love talking about this at the summit because it's about being the maestro in your own business. If you've got a business, if you've got a team, you have the responsibility of making sure that everything and everyone works together. If you're in a leadership position, you can't expect your team to do your job for you. You are there to lead, which means by example from the front. Cool. So you have to think about, what does my blueprint look like? What does my experience look like? And this, it goes back to the beginning where we said, you have to be clear about the experience that you create for your customers. How do you want them to feel? How do you want this process to look, even in terms of your employees? What does that look like? I love that you just mentioned the onboarding. I was in a board meeting last night and we don't currently have an onboarding pack for new board members. And it's something that I raised when I did a review for them a while ago. They still don't have one. And I'm like, okay, but now we've got a new board member that we need to onboard. And we haven't thought about the things we want to tell them. the things we want them to know. So what are the key things? And on the spot, you've got to think about, what do we want to share with them? What information should they know? What do they need to know about the business? What do they need to know about our culture? And Patrick Nazioni, which is also one of the people that I use all the flipping time in my business, talks about a healthy business versus a smart business. Smart businesses are the ones we spoke about earlier that only focus on structures and profits and all those things. And a healthy business goes, those things are important. We must have them in place. But they are not more important than values and culture. Those things must also be in place. And when you, again, create a symphony by putting those things together, you create a beautiful musical business that everything is in harmony and everything is in flow. So when you onboard your employees, your team, your staff members, whatever you call them, what does it look like for them? How do they feel? If customer experience is about how your customer feels, then employee journeys and employee experience is about how they feel when they join your business. Like you said, every time you start a new job and you sit there and you're like, I have no clue what's happening here today. I'm not sure where the toilet is. Never mind, when am I going to get my first task to do? That's horrible. And yet, we all have to go through that at some point in time. And no one goes, okay, the first question I always have, especially if I've had to travel an hour to get to the office, is, where's the bathroom? Let's do that. Okay, where's the bathroom? Where's the copy? Fantastic. Now, let's talk about the things that we do and don't do. Culture is in your business. You have a culture. The question is, do you have a clearly defined culture or do you have a shadow culture? Shadow culture is what happens when you don't create a culture and you're unclear about what it should be. And that's often where, if you think about Harry Potter and there's this dark cloud that suddenly envelops the whole place, that's your shadow culture. You have to be clear about who you are, what values and behaviors you want your team to display, and how you show up for your customers. And then also I talk about linking everything we do to the purpose of the organization. And I know you spoke about it as well at the summit. You have to be clear about your purpose, but it's not good enough to just know what your purpose is. You have to link everything you do, everything your team does to that purpose. Because if you're going to create a symphony, we all have to be singing from the same hymn sheet. We can't do that if we don't understand why we're doing something. And the moment your employees understand why behind the what, they buy into it. They're like, I can get behind that because now there's a cause for me to drive as opposed to just a task that I need to tick. And then obviously we need to talk about the rhythm. The rhythm, like we said earlier, is the systems. It's the structures. It's the drum beat in your business that makes sure that everything ticks over when it's supposed to tick over, the way in which it's supposed to tick over. If you've got those things in place, now you can start showing up as the leader to say, okay, I know that I have been clear about what my team needs to deliver, how they deliver for the customer, and how that links to our greater purpose. Now let me lead them. And part of leading them is to connect with your team on a heart level. So if you have to connect with your customer who buys from you, it's even more important for you to connect with your employees because they help you create greatness in your business. Nobody achieves success or greatness on their own, ever. If you look at anything, anyone who's done anything of any significance, they didn't do it alone. And it's your responsibility to connect with those people to understand who they are. Why do they care? Why are they there? And where do they want to be? It's so sad for me sometimes to hear that organizations bring people on, but it's all about do. And then these people move on and now suddenly you're upset that they've moved on. We all have seasons in our lives. Some people will be part of your season. Some people will be part of your life. And that's just the way it goes. It's the flow of life and you've got to just deal with it. You can't not connect with someone or not train them because they'll only be there for a season. Sometimes those seasons end and they come back again. Sometimes they don't. But what you're creating is a culture where even out in the market, people know that your business is a business to work for because you spend the time to get to know the people. I saw actually you posted something about one of your team members that moved on a couple of months ago. And it was so beautiful to watch how you embraced them, you trained them. They obviously loved working there, but there was a time for them to go and do something else. You could have been the typical chop that was like, oh, you didn't. And that person will never forget that experience. You've created an impact beyond just working for you. And I can guarantee you, if I had to see that person 20 years from now, they will probably tell me about this impact that Chanel had 20 years ago because of the way that you treated them. And that's what we want to do. We want to create a positive impact for everybody, not just in our bottom line, but also for our customers. And then, of course, we have to make that success sustainable. Now, the big question is, what do we need to do? And it's about getting feedback. It's about understanding what works, what doesn't work. Again, I'm a process person. So it's all about continuous improvement. What do we do today that makes us just a smidge better than we were yesterday? Unfortunately, you can't do any of that if you don't have a process in place, if you don't have structures in place, and if you don't ask for feedback from your customers and your employees. And asking for feedback and doing something with the feedback are not the same things. So we have to make sure that when we ask for feedback, we extract insight, because Henry Ford said, if I asked my customers what they wanted, they would have told me faster horses. Now, could you imagine if we were still running around on faster horses? It's not about just asking for what they want or how it went and then just blindly sticking it onto the process. It's about listening to what they're not saying. It's about extracting insight and then using that insight. It's like the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is knowing the facts, and wisdom is knowing how to implement it. So knowledge is knowing that tomatoes are fruit, and wisdom is knowing not to put the tomato in your fruit salad. So it's the same with our feedback. We need to apply wisdom to extract the insight so that we can improve and create innovations. It's not about the newest tech, guys. Yes, innovation is AI, but that's not all that innovation is. Innovation could be creating a service offering that meets all of your needs of your clients, that creates a partnership between you and a couple of other businesses, and suddenly you've got an innovative product or service because your customers has expressed the desire or the need for something that's completely unique. So it's not a copy-paste thing. It's like what you're doing now, Chanel, with your TikTok and Meta advertising videos. It's morphed into what do we actually need to provide our customers so that we can innovate and still be relevant. It wasn't just, we need to create more content faster. That wasn't it. Yes, content faster was what they said, but actually it was about the platform. It was about video. It was about other things. And then, of course, once you've done that, you've got to keep doing that. Success is only sustained when you continuously improve on your service, on your offering, on your product. It's a consistent thing. Again, it comes down to consistency. And I love compound interest. It's a compound thing. Your 2% increase or improvement that you do today will compound over time. And suddenly you're an overnight success, but it's taken you 10 years to get there. However, your success will be sustained because it's small incremental improvements over a longer period of time with consistent impact.
I love that. And you're also just like your metaphors and anecdotes are great. And I feel like you could have a whole book just on your awesome metaphors, like the tomato one and the sun. I just feel like this is a very special talent that you have. And I, again, love the metaphor that you've created for that harmony and that symphony that needs to occur between the customer and the employee. And I've always said you need to treat your team as if they were your customers, because they're the ones that are servicing your customers. So you've got to treat them well so they treat your customers well. And I had a friend who recently had a new team member that she onboarded, and she said to me, I'm just so busy with all of my client work, but like, I don't have time to train her. And I was like, right now, your employee is more important than your customer. I know that sounds bad, but the sooner that your employee gets up and running, the sooner you can actually delegate and hand that work over to her, freeing your time up. So like, I do have an employee first rule for certain things. Like, obviously our customers are important, but I feel like my team is just as important as my customers. And I know, coming from the corporate background, there was like an incident that happened once where they put the customer before my own mental health. And that was pretty awful. And I could go on and on about that. But I definitely think, yeah, making sure that you're treating your staff like your customers, or treating them just as well, and doing it with authenticity, not just pretending to do it, but genuinely wanting to care for your team as much as you care for your client, and putting them first. And then that feedback loop is also a really important piece that I think businesses forget to do, is how are you extracting those insights from your your customers or your clients? Is it something as simple as sending out a SurveyMonkey once a quarter to get their feedback and then figuring out, okay, what processes do we put in place to make sure that this is a consistent thing? And then how do we pull those bits of wisdom from there? And from an internal perspective, we have KPI meeting. I make sure that I set KPIs with my team when they start. And then we have 6 months blocks of KPIs where we do regular check-ins. And it's such a great way to make sure that your team are clear on what their expectations are and what is and isn't okay and what their goals are and how that contributes towards the bigger vision. So it's good for them to have, but it's also good for you to have, because in the instance where they maybe aren't performing, you've got a piece of document, like you've got a document that can support you to say, these are your KPIs. And I've had so many, worked for so many people who've had problems with employees and they haven't had a way to handle it because they don't have that documentation. So it's something so simple. Again, it doesn't have to be flash, just a simple table with what your expectations are and how that's linked to the greater mission and vision. And that also helps them because they're like, they're clear on what it is that they need to do, which reduces stress and anxiety and increases performance. So I think getting that feedback from your customers, but then also from your team in a setting, in a KPI setting, is super, super important. And again, it's like, it's so simple. Just listen to people. It's all human. And I love that why you've got the heart in there, because so much of this is just listen and have some compassion and take feedback and don't make it about you, make it about them. And yeah, it's just, I love the beauty of the simplicity of all of this, yet we don't do it. Or not everyone does it. I love that you've got that humanistic approach to what you do. I suppose from here, is there anything else that you'd like to share, or perhaps any common warning signs that perhaps you need to look into your customer experience, or you need to look into, what are some of the warning signs that something that maybe a business needs to do?
So before we get into the warning signs, your point about having an experience with an employer who put the customer first over your mental well-being, this is where Ubuntu comes in. So Ubuntu is a Zulu word that says, I am because we are. And I said earlier, nobody achieves success or greatness on their own. We all achieve it together with the support or help of somebody. Sometimes those people are seasoned. Sometimes those people are lifetime people. And I am successful because we collectively as a team are successful. And the same is true for your competitors, right? We are successful in this industry because each one of those competitors create a nuanced change and add something different that makes the industry successful, and so too for our customers. Your customers are because you are. That's just, so forget about the, I mustn't put my customers first or I mustn't put my employees first. I am because we are. And when you take the stance of I am because we are, you go, how do we do this for the greater good? For the good of our employees, the good of our customers, and the good of our business. It's a win situation, not a win-lose or win-win situations. There must be a three-win in your context. The second thing is listening can sound overwhelming, but actually you're doing it all the time. Your customers are sending you emails. They're telling you stuff on the phone. Just pay attention, actively listen to what they say, because when you listen, you'll hear that they're actually a little bit frustrated. They're trying to express some dissatisfaction about something that doesn't work, and you're not listening. Don't wait for them to complain. Complaints is at the end when they're ready to leave. Listen to the things they are telling you throughout the process. Common issues in terms of customer experience when you should be looking at your customer experience. You should always be looking at your customer experience, by the way. Don't wait for it to burn, because then you're firefighting and that's really not where you want to be. However, if you are in that place, you know you're in that place when your customers are just not coming back. Great customer experience always results in repeat business. If you've got a business and your customers are not coming back, but they're also not complaining, even if they are complaining, if you see a high customer churn, that's an indication that you have to be looking at your customer experience. A beautiful example is my girls do dancing currently for the moment with this dance school. This dance school has not considered that we are real people with real jobs and real lives. And they have done everything around what suits them and their little la la land. My kids will not be going next year. I'm taking them out of the dance school, because in 20 years, you should have learned that it's not just about the kids, that there are parents that have to drive these kids around. doing these things. And I love for my kids to do extramural activities. I think it's really important to have outside interests. However, it needs to fit into the ecosystem, Ubuntu, of the household. And when the dance school does things that consistently don't fit within our ecosystem, I go, in 20 years, it's time for me to go. Now, that dance school also constantly has to do new promotions to get new people in because the people don't stay. Why do you think that is? Start asking the question. Understand who's your customer. Yes, the kids are the customer in that they are doing this thing. But the actual customer is the parents because they pay for your service. And actually, they drive the kids around. If you've got a high customer churn, definitely look into it. I often hear businesses say, we don't have complaints. A complaint is any expression of dissatisfaction, any expression, whether it's written or on the phone. If someone sounds frustrated, says they're frustrated, or tells you something they don't like, take it as a complaint and don't see it as a negative thing. Complaints are gold. Your customers are telling you what's not working. You don't have to go figure it out. You don't have to go dig. They're telling you. So go, okay, thank you for the feedback. Now go fix it so that it doesn't happen again. Statistically, customers who are, when a customer complaint is fixed for a customer and the issue is resolved effectively, those customers tend to stay longer and become more loyal because they had a poor experience that was effectively recovered. So complaints aren't necessarily a bad thing. I think those would probably be the two biggest areas. If you're a business and you're worried about your CX, maybe start there.
I love that. And I actually did some work for a friend recently, which I don't normally do. I don't like to mix work and pleasure, but did some work for them. And normally when we do this particular piece of work, we get so much positive feedback. We're so used to having, we work with a lot of female business owners and we're so used to them being like, oh my God, this is gorgeous. This is beautiful. We love it. Super happy. Cause that's just what women are like. And this friend was a guy and he didn't do that. And I was like, okay, maybe it's just because he's a guy and that's just not what they do. But he didn't really say anything. And no matter how many times I said, oh, hey, were you happy with it? Do you have some feedback? He never answered that question. And I got the sense that he wasn't 100% happy, but he wasn't telling me why until I pulled it out of him. And there was just a few bits and pieces that he wanted more that he didn't get. But I really had to get it out of him. And I was so glad that I did, because I think a lot of business owners, they to protect themselves, don't want to hear that feedback, or they don't enjoy the conflict. Whereas I think lean into the conflict and lean into wanting to get that advice or that feedback, because that feedback is a gift, because you can go, okay, maybe next time we need to do this, or now, you know, I'm gonna make good. An even better example actually was when I was living in London and my girlfriends took me out for my hen's party. And I had the worst time. They were so rude. It was a cocktail bar in Soho and they were incredibly rude. And there was like seven different things that happened that just were awful. And I sent them an email and I just said, based on the way that we were treated on Friday night, I don't even think you'll bother to reply to this email, because that was just the sense that I got that you probably wouldn't give a shit. They didn't. She phoned me. The owner phoned me, Sharon. I even remember this day. And she got me to explain to her what happened. She then phoned me, which I don't think this was necessarily the right way to deal with it. She then phoned me and said, I'd like you to know that I've let those people go, because she got me to explain. And I said, oh God, you need to fire them. I just thought I'd give you the feedback. Anyway, her solution, she said, please come back. I will give you, I think we have a £300 voucher, because it was like a swanky cocktail bar. Come back and spend $300. We had the best time. And if she hadn't taken that, if she hadn't done, I would have just thought that cocktail bar was terrible. But she offered me a make good. I went and I had the best time. They didn't ask for feedback. I just gave it. But she did something to, and she met me there. And yeah, we had a lovely time. So I think where I'm going with all that is feedback is important. It's a gift. And it might be a little bit uncomfortable, but ultimately it's going to help with gold. Absolutely. I say this at the end of most podcasts because I'm very selective with who I get on. I know that I could talk to them forever and I do feel like I could talk to you forever. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Anything else that's going on in your industry or any advice you'd like to give our listeners before we share how they can get in touch with you?
I think now more than ever, customer experience is becoming really important. It's a bit of a buzzword. Everyone's like, oh, customer experience, customer service. I do that. No, you probably don't. And it will increase in prominence. Because customers can buy anything from anywhere in the world at pretty much any price they want. And if any business, regardless of who you are, has any chance of sustaining success over time, you have to pay attention to your customer, not as the number, but as the person. The big corporates are only there because they've got the churn and the numbers that sits behind it, not necessarily because they are awake to the experience. And for small businesses, which I honestly believe is the backbone of any economy, if you can just get your customer experience, your business won't skyrocket overnight. I can guarantee you that. However, you will see a sustained growth over time. And again, like one day you'll wake up and you'll be like, wow, I have this hugely profitable business with customers that keep coming back. I just like, when did this happen? But it happened over time, slowly. And you'll have something that you've created, a legacy that you can sell if you so choose, or leave to your kids, or leave to a partner, or whatever. Something to be really proud of outside of these corporates that just make huge profits. So guys, it's the simple, small things. Focus on the basics. Don't go get the newest tech. Don't even worry about the shiny things that everyone tells you to do. Don't even worry about delighting your customers. Start with the basics. Get consistent. Make sure that you've got processes. Make sure that you've got structures. And then just pay attention to what your customers are saying.
Lovely. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for all of the wonderful advice you've given today. And how can people get in touch with you so if they need some help? They can get in touch with you.
So the best would probably be to pop me an email on odette@amplifycoach.biz. However, we are also on YouTube, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, Substack. I think that might be it.
I don't think I've ever, I'm in marketing and I'm constantly telling people what platforms they need to be on to amplify their online presence. And you've nailed it. You're doing all the right things.
The fact that I'm there doesn't mean that I'm there in a good way. I'm sure from a marketing perspective, you'll be like, no, well, but I try to be there. So I am on all of those places, whether you search for me or Amplify Business Coaching and Consulting. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you found tons of value in this conversation. If you enjoyed hearing my guest appearance on the Sunshine Podcast with Chanel LaRue, I'd love it if you could subscribe, rate, and review Amplify with Purpose wherever you're listening right now. Your feedback not only helps me reach more purpose-driven business owners like you, but also ensures you never miss future episodes packed with insights to amplify your business success. And don't forget, if there's someone you know who'd benefit from improving their client experience, please share this episode with them. Let's help more businesses thrive by genuinely caring for their clients. Until next time, keep amplifying your purpose.